Chapter 23. Robert Langdon landed hard on the spongy earth just inside the retaining wall of the bubbly garden's heavily wooded southern edge. Sienna landed beside him and stood up, brushing herself off and taking in their surroundings. They were standing in a glade of moss and ferns on the edge of a small forest. From here, the Palazzo Pitti was entirely obscured from view, and Langdon sensed they were about as far from the palace as one could get in the gardens. At least, there were no workers or tourists out this far at this early hour. Langdon gazed at a peystone pathway that wound gracefully downhill into the forest before them. At the point where the path disappeared into the trees, a marble statue had been perfectly situated to receive the eye. Langdon was not surprised. The Boboli Gardens had enjoyed the exceptional design talents of Niccolò Tribolo, Giorgio Vasari, and Bernardo Buontalenti, a brain trust of aesthetic talent that had created on this 111-acre canvas a walkable masterpiece. "If we head northeast, we'll reach the palace," Langdon said, pointing down the path. "We can mix there with the tourists and exit unseen. I'm guessing it opens at 9. Langdon glanced down to check the time, but saw only his bare wrist where his Mickey Mouse watch had once been strapped. He wondered absently if it was still at the hospital with the rest of his clothing, and if he'd ever be able to retrieve it. Sienna planted her feet defiantly.
"Robert, before we take another step, I want to know where we're going. What did you figure out back there? The Malebolge? You said it was out of sequence?"
Langdon motioned toward a wooded area just ahead. "Let's get out of sight first." He led her down a pathway that curled into an enclosed hollow, a room in the parlance of landscape architecture, where there were some faux bois benches and a small fountain. The air beneath the trees was decidedly colder. Langdon took the projector from his pocket and began shaking it. "Sienna, whoever created this digital image not only added letters to the sinners in the Malebolge, but he also changed the order of the sins." He hopped up on the bench, towering over Sienna, and aimed the projector down at his feet. Botticelli's Mappo dell'Inferno materialized faintly on the flat benchtop beside Sienna. Langdon motioned to the tiered area at the bottom of the funnel. "See the letters in the 10 ditches of the Malebolge?" Sienna found them on the projection and read from top to bottom.
"Quattrovasser."
"Right. Meaningless."
"But then you realized the 10 ditches had been shuffled around?"
"Easier than that, actually. If these levels were a deck of 10 cards, the deck was not so much shuffled as simply cut once. After the cut, the cards remain in the correct order, but they start with the wrong card." Langdon pointed down at the 10 ditches of the Malebolge. "According to Dante's text, our top level should be the seducers whipped by demons. And yet in this version, the seducers appear way down in the 7th ditch." Sienna studied the now fading image beside her and nodded.
"Okay, I see that. The 1st ditch is now the 7th.
Langdon pocketed the projector and jumped back down onto the pathway. He grabbed a small stick and began scratching letters on a patch of dirt just off the path. "Here are the letters as they appear in our modified version of hell." Langdon read down the list. "Quattrovasser."
"Quattrovasser," Sienna read.
"Yes. And here is where the deck was cut." Langdon now drew a line beneath the 7th letter and waited while Sienna studied his handiwork.
"Okay," she said quickly. "Quattrovasser."
"Yes, and to put the cards back in order, we simply uncut the deck and place the bottom on top. The two halves swap places." Sienna eyed the letters.
"Ser, Quattrova."
She shrugged, looking unimpressed.
"Still meaningless."
"Ser, Quattrova," Langdon repeated. After a pause, he said the words again, eliding them together. "Ser Quattrova." Finally, he said them with a pause in the middle. "Cerca Trova."